and curry. They got you, don't you worry. If you were in a hurry, buy a curry and Claypool. Curry and Claypool. No matter how your day go, they got a fresh new show today. It's Curry and Claypool. Whether you up north of Gardendale or down south past Vestavia, turn up your
sound. Oh, we're gonna rock today, brother.
Well,
we're gonna
get out of here now. Got something to say to you. Curry and Claypool, they in the know. Their topics cover A to Z. So whether you drive fast or slow, just sit on back and feel the beat.
Oh no!
It's Curry and Claypool.
Happy Tuesday, kids. It's February 8th. It's Tony Curry and Tony Curry Live on about 9:30 this morning. Tons of classic rock for you today. We got people listening all over the world, and certainly right here in the epicenter of Hoover, Alabama. We got a monster show for you today. I'll get into some stories here today as we get ready for Super Bowl 56. Just posted a nice little banner of Evan McPherson from Fort Payne, Alabama. They are ready for a big old Hoo Day coming up this Sunday right around 5:30. We also got some interesting classic rock news I want to get into a little bit later on the show, and we'll do some Facebook Live this morning right here on the Curry and Claypool Show. Of course, Dr. Josh Claypool now joins us on Thursdays. It's Tony Curry Live on Tony Curry Radio. Tony Curry Radio on a Tuesday morning. We got a chance to listen to our unique programming yesterday. We had Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart, probably one of our weirdest shows we've ever done at noon. Noon and 8. I was getting blown up last night at like 8:30 going, what the hell are you guys talking about? We were asking about cat nipples. We had a guy in Louisville, Kentucky who we get emails for Dark Side of the Pooch every single week from all over the country and certainly from a lot here in Birmingham area where Tony Curry Radio is. And a guy had said he had a cat with 8 kittens and was wondering what happens when one doesn't get fed. And then he realized that his cat had 8 nipples. And he's like, I never knew the cat had that many. And so Dr. Rab, I was like, so what's the deal? How many nipples? Do you know this answer? How many nipples does a cat have? He's like, cats have multiple. Like they're different from cat to cat. And I said, really? And of course, males have them too. And he's like, yeah, I've seen cats with 12 nipples. I've seen cats with 3 nipples. I never knew. So there you have it. We also talked about why they sound like crying babies when they get after it. It's probably because they're in pain. We'll get into it again a little bit later on Monday. Of course, on Tuesday, it's Adapt or Perish. Dr. Alex Hublein and my good friend, Dr. Josh Claypool, who will join me on Thursday morning, do this wonderful show about business adaptation. And this thing has kind of taken on a mind of its own and a group of its own, for sure. It's our fastest growing show here on Tony Curry Radio. It airs at noon and 8. Again, a little bit later on this afternoon, this evening. If you miss it at noon, you can hear it again at 8 o'clock and fresh new shows every Tuesday right here with Dr. Alex from Adaptigent, formerly GT Software, Dusty Rivers, and Alex and all those guys are great. I love those guys. They do a wonderful job. Wednesdays, Mission Minded with Michael Coleman. One of those dudes you get around, you just feel smarter just sitting there talking to him for half an hour, 45 minutes. His show is going to be coming up right around 12 and 7:30 on Wednesday. We have Live Wire Wednesday. We'll do some AC/DC here in just a few minutes. Blues Almighty on Thursday. And then, of course, the Damon Johnson Show on Friday. The Classic Hip Hop Show goes on Saturday nights. And then, of course, our brand new show, When in Rome, with Stuart Rome from the wonderful Woodhouse Day Spa, birmingham.woodhousespas.com, 905-7676. They do fantastic work. It's a show that's going to make you look good, feel good, and sound good, all right? So keep that in mind. I do some Zeppelin this morning. Some exciting news about The Who coming up in just a few minutes. We mentioned they're going back in the road. Is it called The Who Knocks It Out or something, or The Who Kicks In, or I don't know. We'll talk about that coming in a few seconds right here. Ramble on, Zeppelin. Good morning to you, man. It's Tuesday on Tony Curry Radio on the Tony Curry Radio app. Tony Curry Radio, AC/DC. You know, we dedicate an hour to that great rock and roll band every single Wednesday night right around 8 o'clock. Brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing for all of your staffing needs. They talk about construction, but they do everything, and they serve the United States of America. They're right here in Hoover. They're right down the street from Tony Curry Radio. They could probably hear me with the doors open this morning. Kai Gregory is a good friend of mine. I love this guy. His word, his handshake means so much, just like Southern Precision Staffing, 205-682-2828, 205-682-2828 for all of your staffing needs. We do a full hour of AC/DC again tomorrow night. We'll do that right after Mission Minded that airs right around 7:30 with Michael Coleman. 8 o'clock, I do that show live, and we do it by request. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net, become a bonehead, or you can go to any of our social media platforms on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and let me know what you want to hear, and I'd be more than happy to play it for you here. Lots of great classic rock and roll this morning. Also couldn't do it without our good friends at Chris Dorsey's State Farm team. I got a phone call yesterday from Carrie. She's like, would you mind doing us a preview or a review of how we do? And I said, yeah, because I just got my son on their insurance, State Farm. And as you know, when you've got a 16 or 17 year old getting car insurance, it's like, okay, what's this going to set me back? Well, they did the Steer Clear program. He got his transcripts, he got a 3.0 GPA. And he also, of course, took driver's ed, and it saved me hundreds of dollars, if not thousands, over the course of a year. State Farm's, listen, they want your business. They're going to do everything they can to get you in, and they have budgets for every plan. Check out State Farm. Chris Doris, a long recognized as one of the top 10 State Farm agents out of 18,500 nationwide. They do fantastic work. Check out, of course, Chris Dorsey, State Farm team, 205-985-7799, 985-7799. Tony Curry Radio. You never get tired of that song, ever, ever, ever. As soon as you hear that first riff, you're like, one, two, three. It's like, I'm in. You know, it's weird because I was kind of praying for an Alabama national championship, and I'd be honest with you, I never thought in a million years the Cincinnati Bengals had a chance to win a Super Bowl in Super Bowl 56. I mean, it they won four games last year. It just wasn't even, but how cool would that have been to have two of my favorite teams win in the same sports calendar year? That would be pretty cool. But I'll take a Bengals Super Bowl this Sunday. There's no reason to think the Cincinnati Bengals can't pull this off, which is really interesting because they had a poll. They came out. The Rams obviously were built for this. They were expected to be there. They brought Matthew Stafford in. They got Odell Beckham Jr. They got Vonda. They got everybody, right? They got Aaron. They got everybody. And when you build these super groups, people don't like it. That's why people are loving the fact that the Brooklyn Nets are just sucking wind this year because the big three can't seem to get together. And, of course, Kyrie, a big part of that is because he's not playing at home. And people hate that. They want to see the little guy get it done. But there is a huge contingency up in St. Louis, which is real interesting, where my ex's extended family lives, that are praying the Cincinnati Bengals win because they hate the fact the Rams left them in St. Louis a few years back to go to L.A. So you got a lot of people rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals for sake of this Super Bowl. And we're just asking for one. I don't want any more than one. I want the Bengals to be listen, they've never won a Super Bowl. They've only been there twice. Something else I think is super interesting is, of course, Chris Collinsworth, who's going to be calling the game with Al Michaels, played in the first two Super Bowls with the Cincinnati Bengals and obviously came up a little short. And I think it'd be kind of cool if, in fact, he could actually watch one and call a winner for the Cincinnati Bengals. Kind of cool. Great news about The Who. I just posted it. They're going to be playing Cincinnati, Ohio for the first time since 11 people died in that concert back in the 70s. It'll be 42 years ago. They were supposed to play a couple years ago, but COVID reared its ugly head. They'll be playing in Cincinnati. Go to TonyCurryRadio.net. You get the entire tour rundown shows for The Who as they knock it out. Roger and Pete right here on Tony Curry Radio. That was video of the year, I believe, the first year MTV was on television. You never hear it. Great song, Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow and Can't Happen Here. And I believe, what was the album called, No Cure? Or no, Down to Earth. No Cure was the next one. It's Tony Curry here on Tony Curry Live. Of course, we do it every single Monday through Friday between 7:30 and 9:30. We'll have Dr. Josh Claypo join us on Thursday. He also, of course, is on Adapter Parish. He's all over the place. And you can follow him at Dr. Josh Claypo on all the social media platforms, not to mention Tony Curry Radio, Adapter Parish at noon and 8 later on this afternoon. Fresh new shows with Dr. Alex Hublein from Adaptogen and Dr. Josh Claypo. He could probably talk about this next story, Dr. Josh. This is one of the stories where I read it, and after I read it, I kind of felt bad for the dude. Obviously, just based on some of the stories that he was spewing, it appears the guy is not right upstairs. Santa Fe police responded to a residence on Sunday after a man reported he entered his home, only to find a 34-year-old Terrell Christensen there with an AR-style rifle, according to court documents. The caller told police that Christensen was drinking a beer and eating shrimp in his house when he arrived. It's kind of weird. The invader apologized to the homeowner, okay, saying he needed a place to sleep, and then put $200 in cash on a chair before packing up his gun in a duffel bag and quietly departing. Okay, no harm, no foul. Christian is believed to have entered the house via a window he had smashed. The homeowner estimated the window was going to cost about $200 to replace, and he gave him $200 in cash. He said the male was extremely embarrassed and apologetic about the situation. When asked why he was in the home, Christian said his family was killed in East Texas and he was running from somebody. All right, this is where it gets a little weird. Not that he's eating shrimp and drinking a beer in your home. Told the man he'd been driving, but his car had broken down about 100 miles outside of Santa Fe. How the hell he got all the way to this guy's house, I'm not sure. The thoughtful home invader was arrested the next day, however, after he tried to steal a woman's car at gunpoint at a church's chicken in Santa Fe. The woman told cops she was waiting for her food in the drive-thru line when Christensen approached the car door, demanded she get out of the vehicle because he was taking it. Christian fled after she began honking her horn. He was picked up by police when spotted down a road a little later. According to court documents, Christian told the police that he'd been caught in a blizzard on Sunday and broke into a home out of fear of freezing, the New Mexican reported. Said he felt bad about breaking the window, so he left $200 in cash. He did refuse to speak about the attempted carjacking at church's chicken. He was charged with aggravated burglary, larceny, and criminal damage to property for the Sunday break-in. Feel sorry for the guy? A little bit? You don't hear stories like that a whole lot. Listen, there was a situation where I was at a White Castle up in Cincinnati, and it was really late, and we were inside the White Castle, and of course, I had had a few pops, a couple of Budweiser's, a couple hundred. And so I'm inside the restaurant. My buddies are eating. I was like, you know, it's one of those things that sounds really good, and you get like a half bite into one. You're like, I got to go outside. So I went out and got in the car, and I fell asleep. And I'm out there for like 2 hours and realized that I actually fell asleep in someone else's car. It wasn't my own. We didn't have phones. We didn't have cell phones and stuff back in the 80s. And so I just fell asleep in the backseat of this car, and I realized I was not in my own car and got out. I mean, think how that could have turned out, right? Of course, my buddy just left me there like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking up and down the street. So I could see where weird things happen. In this particular case, I would not have gotten inside the car and drank a beer and ate some shrimp. I just think it's kind of strange. It's weird. We're going to go Facebook Live in just a few minutes. So I'll talk about the Who returning back to my hometown of Cincinnati, Ohio, after 42 years, and what the Who has done to try to fix that whole situation where 11 people lost their lives. It changed the ways we saw concerts, man. It did. It changed everything. Unfortunately, sometimes we have to have traumatic experiences to change things for good. We'll talk about that. And Ringo Starr also on the road.
Woo! Yeah.
The All-American Boy, Rick Derringer, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. I hope your Hoochie Coo is doing nice and warm this morning here on a Tuesday. It's Tony Curry and Tony Curry Live every morning, 7:30, 9:30 here on the Tony Curry Radio app. Download the Tony Curry Radio app. We give you great classic rock and roll 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Later on today, Brandon Austin, good morning to you, Mr. Morris. We've got some great stuff with Adapt or Perish. It's Dr. Alex Hubline, Dr. Josh Klapo. It is called Adapt or Perish. We're going to call it Adapt or Die. It just seemed a little dark. Perish. Oh, how did he perish? How did he pass? We'll get into that noon at 8 today. It's a fresh new show right here. And, of course, Dr. Alex from Adaptogen, formerly GT Software. Great show. Talked about business adaptation. We'll have that show. We had Dark Side of the Pooch yesterday. We got Mission Minded tomorrow with Michael Coleman. We'll do that show. We got Live Wire Wednesday tomorrow night. We got Blues Almighty with Austin Hanks on Thursday. We got Damon Johnson show on Friday at noon at 8. We have When in Rome with Stuart Rome from the wonderful Woodhouse Day Spa, Birmingham.WoodhouseSpas.com. Wonderful place right there at the Summit. We do that show. It's a show that makes you look good, feel good, and sound good. And we have the classic hip-hop show that's going on Saturday. We're finding out some more. This could be our dumb crook news segment here. We're finding out more about a Las Vegas man arrested for a series of wrong-way crashes along 215. I've been on it. The suspect, Daniel Asoff, was in court Friday for a hearing. He's already been convicted of 2 DUIs, now facing a 3rd DUI. Prosecutors allege he was high on meth and heroin while driving the wrong way on 215 last week. That could be enough right there. You could just close the case and go, okay, pretty much can figure this out. It's caused multiple crashes involving cars and bicyclists near Sahara and Fort Apache in 215 in Sahara. Prosecutors told the judge that Asaf was intentionally trying to run over pedestrians and hit other cars. He's facing multiple charges, including attempted murder, battery, and DUI. His other DUI convictions came in 2016 and 2020. At least he's spacing them out. The judge called the allegation disturbing, and this was Asaf's response to driving the wrong way on 215. He said, in quote, "This was for Dale Earnhardt Sr., the intimidator. Told me to open that up for a racetrack for NASCAR and IndyCar racing. If approved by Mayor Goodman for twice a year, they wanted to use that as a Grand Prix racetrack to open it the wrong way backward." So Dale Earnhardt Sr. told this guy to drive the wrong way on 215 to clear it out so he could potentially run a Grand Prix or a NASCAR race. Now it actually makes sense. That's not as weird as this other story coming out of Santa Fe. This happened yesterday. Santa Fe police responded to a residence on a Sunday after a man reported he entered his home only to find a 34-year-old Terrell Christensen there with an AR-style rifle. It's enough to freak you out. Caller told police Christensen was drinking a beer and eating shrimp on his couch when he arrived. The invader apologized to the homeowner. Okay, well, saying he needed a place to sleep. Then he took out $200 in cash and put it on the chair before packing up his gun in a duffel bag and quietly departing. Christian is believed to have entered the house via a window he had smashed. The homeowner estimated the window to be about $200 to replace, so we're good there. No foul, no harm. The homeowner told police the male was extremely embarrassed and apologetic about the situation. When asked why he was in the home, Christian said his family was killed in East Texas and was running from somebody. He told the man he'd been driving, but his car had broken down about 100 miles outside of Santa Fe. No telling how the hell he went 100 miles all the way to Santa Fe to break in this dude's house. The thoughtful home invader, though, was arrested the next day, however, after he tried to steal a woman's car at gunpoint at a church's chicken in Santa Fe. The woman told cops she was waiting for her food in the drive-thru line when Christian allegedly approached her car door and demanded she get out of the vehicle because he needed it. Christian then fled after she started honking her horn. He was picked up by police when he spotted walking down a road later that day. Christian told police that he had been caught in a blizzard on Sunday, broke into a home out of fear of freezing. The New Mexican reported he said he felt bad about breaking the window, so he took out $200 in cash and wanted to pay for it. He did refuse to speak about the attempted carjacking at Church's Chicken. I mean, you never know what's going to happen out there. I told the story a few minutes ago about how I was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was out and I had too many. This is 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And we had been out all night. And so we went to a White Castle down in downtown Cincinnati. I was with two of my buddies. These are the two guys, man. Every time we went out, we had a hell of a good time, but I always got left somewhere. And so we're in the restaurant. And, you know, when you've had a few, I had a few pops, had a few Budweisers. One of our proud sponsors here, Andy Morgan, good morning. Of Tony Curry Radio. And so I took one bite and I was like, I'm going out to the car. And so I got out the car and I fell asleep in the back seat. And a few hours later, the sun's coming up and I'm like, where the hell am I? And I realized I crawled in the back seat of someone else's car. Thank goodness no one came out. I guess it was someone that was working there at the store because I was in the car for like 4 hours. And of course, my guy just left me high and dry. This took me out. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that stuff. So I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know how to get home. I was like 20 miles from home. So I could see where maybe, you know, sometimes you just walk in someone else's house and want to take a nap. Also in Cincinnati, a lot going on in Cincinnati right now. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals are getting ready to take on the Rams coming up this Sunday. I'm a Bengals fan, obviously. I lived in Cincinnati for about 18, 19 years before I moved to Louisville, and I came down here when I was in my 20s. I consider myself a Southerner. I've been down here for 32, 33 years. But the Who just announced yesterday, the Who Hits Back tour is coming. Now, you remember Roger came out late last year and said he was going to go on the road and do his own thing, his solo thing, and he's going to play Who music. Pete Townsend now has latched on, and they're going to have an entire orchestra, and they're going to play every Who song you've ever heard, which sounds like a lot of fun. A North American tour, about 29 dates. They're not coming to Birmingham, but I believe they're coming to Atlanta. I think they're going to play Nashville. They're opening up, I think, in Fort Lauderdale. Should be fun. But they are playing Cincinnati, Ohio, and why is that so important? It'll be the first time they played since 11 people were killed in the Stampede back in December of 1979. This story hits home for me. I've told this story about my brother, who used to be a party dog, get after it. I love him like a brother from my mother. He's my best friend. We still like to go to Biloxi together on occasion. We haven't gone a few years, but he actually went down. This is when you had to stand in line for tickets. Remember when you had to stand in line for tickets? You used to have to go, we used to stand in line at the Magic Platter or Parisians. Remember Parisians? You used to stand in line at Parisians to get tickets there at the Gallery Mall. Christy Kirkpatrick, good morning to you. And we'd stay out, you know, in tents for like 3 or 4 days to see if we could get, you know, top 10 row tickets for concerts. It's the way it was. And then, or you'd be on your phone trying to call, which never worked. Anyway, so my brother skipped school to go to this Who ticket release. And, of course, he got caught for it. While he was downtown, he got mugged. Cops brought my son, my brother back to the house, and my dad was not all too happy and grounded him for an extended period of time and said, good luck going to that Who concert. It ain't happening. You ain't going. Well, the night of the Who concert, my brother gets out a window, and he goes down to that concert. And the reason why there was a stampede was it was festival seating at the time. Again, this was back in 1979. For people that don't know, there's no lawn. It was a coliseum. There was no lawn. There was no festival seating of any kind now, but there was back then. Back then, it was first come, first serve. And so you had several thousand people outside the coliseum trying to get in. They heard the Who doing a sound check, and people thought the concert was starting. The doors were locked. They pushed. And when the doors opened, obviously, it was horrible. It was a tragedy. And a lot of people that went into the concert, and even the Who at the time, didn't know what had happened outside the stadium or outside the Coliseum until well after the show. And Roger and Pete will tell you that it still traumatized them to this day. And it was just a horrible situation. They have actually created foundations for the 11 people who died in that particular tragedy back in 1979, and they continually give money to these foundations in the Cincinnati area to provide for the family and members of the people that perished. There was also another 24 people that got injured on that particular day, 1979. But like all tragedies, something good did come out of it, and that is we started doing assigned seating for concerts. That's just the way it was. There was no longer a festival seating of any kind anywhere in Cincinnati for a long period of time. They had a Riverbend Music Center where it's festival, but it's a lawn area, and so you can get in there. And at that point, you really don't care because you're 800 miles away from the stage, and you don't care. You just want to hear the music, and you want to have your baby, your bucket, and your bucket of beer. But this will be the first time. They were supposed to play back in 2020, and because of the pandemic, it didn't happen. So this will be the first time the Who will play in Cincinnati 42 years after the tragic concert stampede. Roger Daltrey came out and said, listen, this is super important for us just to bring some type of closure because we haven't played in Cincinnati in 42 years. We're now playing in an even larger venue in Cincinnati, which obviously will raise more revenue. So they're going to give every dime from that concert back to this wonderful foundation. He said, I'm very excited about the fact that we will leave behind a legacy for Cincinnati. In the station's 2019 documentary, The Who, The Night That Changed Rock, the band said decidedly that playing in Cincinnati again would be the best way to bring closure to that horrible situation that happened back in 1979. So that's great. Also, if you go to our webpage, TonyCurry.net, TonyCurryRadio.net, should I say, you will see a great story about Ringo Starr. He hasn't played. He's played the Ringo Starr All-Star Band. They played down the, the BJCC Concert Hall several years ago. Colin Hay was down there, members from Toto. It's great. He gets different members from different bands. They play different songs from their different sets. It's fantastic. It's great. And, of course, it's Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. Eric Clapton has played it. Edgar Winter is going to be coming back. He's one of the originals to play in Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. They're going to be releasing a brand-new tour list, and they just did. You go to TonyCurryRadio.net. And see the rundown. They're playing a bunch of shows all over the world. I think about 15 to 20 shows. I think as close as they come here is Atlanta as well. So you can check that at TonyCurryRadio.net. Also, Tony Curry Radio on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Check us out, and we give you stuff all throughout the entire day. We hope you have a fantastic Tuesday. Coming up later on tomorrow night, it's going to be Live Wire Wednesday, all AC/DC from 8 until 9 o'clock, brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing, 205-682-2828 for construction needs or anything else. It's the place to go with Kai Greger and his entire crew. Live Wire Wednesday. Tony Curry Radio. Fire Woman and the Cult from Sonic Temple. You want to go see? We were talking about a bunch of concerts here. Ringo Starr just announced he's going back on the road, which is great. And again, hell, I don't know if this is going to be the last time. Ringo Starr has been playing every year, his Ringo Starr band, for like 20-something years, and of course he's been off the last couple of years. The Who hits back. That tour is going on 29 dates. As long as they keep touring, man, I get a chance to go see him. I ain't going to spend $400 or $500 to go see him, but I mean, I'll go for $100. If you get a chance to go see him, you go to TonyCurryRadio.net, TonyCurryRadio.net for all the concerts. And then, of course, Sammy Hagar. I am. This is a bucket list show for me. I'm getting this feeling that Sammy Hagar will never go back on the road like a tour. He's set up residency in Las Vegas, down at the Needle, down at the end of the Strip. And he seems like he's pretty happy there. And then he goes out and he goes down to Cabo, down to his bar, and he does his birthday bashes and he does some other things on the road. But he does, as far as in a set tour, he just doesn't do it anymore. So if you get a chance to go to Las Vegas, he's going to be playing later on, I believe, tomorrow night. He's playing three shows this week at his residency there in Las Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas is already fun, unless, of course, you're Alvin Kamara. And he's having a good time, so that may be a bucket list for me. I may have to go check out Sammy. Coming up tomorrow night here on Tony Curry Radio from 8 until 9 o'clock, it is Live Wire Wednesday brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing, 205-682-2828 for all your staffing needs, construction, otherwise. Kai Gregory and his staff, they're ready for you, man. Give them a call. They're right here in Hoover, Alabama. They serve the United States of America just like Tony Curry Radio does. Well, your word and your handshake still mean something. Southern Precision Staffing, it goes on tomorrow night. Right before that, we're doing Mission Minded with Michael Coleman, my good friend from the Jimmy Hill Mission. He's the executive director. He's so much bigger than that. He's done so many cool things in his life. We talk about non-for-profits, but we talk about entrepreneurial things. We'll do that mission-minded thing. Today, at noon and 8, we're going to be doing our Adapter Parish. A great show with Dr. Alex Ublein and Dr. Josh Klapo. That show runs right here on Tony Curry Radio, our fastest-growing show. And, of course, yesterday we did Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart. We talked about cat nipples. Okay. Speaking of dogs, I saw the story, and this is kind of crazy. Are you one of those people that picks up your dog's poop? I have, these shoes called shit kicking shoes. They're a pair of gym shoes that I use to kick poop. I don't do them in my backyard because, my big dog usually, poops in my yard. He doesn't poop when we walk, but my little dog, he, poops some little turds. And so I could just get my shit kicking shoes and I just kick him out of people's lawns. That way I'm not walking around with a bag and a shovel. Right. And my neighbors know it. My neighbors see my dog and they're like, whatever, it's Frisco. He don't poop much. And then I kick it into the street. According to a scientific study published in the Ecological Solutions and Evidence, they found that dogs appear to be a non-negligible, substantial and unestimated source of nutrients into the peri-urban ecosystems. What does this mean? It's a disturbance and its associated effects on biodiversity have been often neglected so far. After analyzing the natural effects dogs had on four nature reserves surrounding the European city, the soiled soil contained high clusters of both nitrogen and phosphorus and two environmental influencing elements. Nutrients inputs from canine urine and feces can have important effects on soil nutrients. So is that good? In areas with a lot of dog walkers, especially near walking paths, elevated soil phosphorus and nitrogen concentrations are found in stable isotope analysis confirms dogs are the source. Okay, what does that mean? It is clear the levels of fertilization by dogs estimated here can potentially exert negative effects on biodiversity and ecosystem functioning of species-rich vegetation that are often pursued in forest and natural management. Dogs can be depositing up to 24 pounds of poo annually. All right, my dog. Hell, my dog could do 24 pounds in one sitting. What are you talking about? Although the puppy pee and poop were only reported by Ghent, they're still trying to discover whether it's actually. I do know that depending on type of grass you got, I got a next door neighbor. It's funny because I got neighbors who got really light, nice lawn, and my lawn is like if I didn't have weeds, it wouldn't be green. And so mine's the pooping yard. And I'm outside a lot, so I see dogs, but I'm like, and it doesn't really bother me. As long as they're kicking it into the street, I really don't care. The only reason I don't like dog poop in my lawn is when I'm cutting grass and I run over it. That's the only reason. If it turns it brown, whatever. Sometimes it gets darker green, depending on what the dog is eating. But if it's a big hype and pile of stuff, and back in the day, you never picked up dog poop. You had dog poop all over your yard. So, and it would stay there so long it would turn white. Remember those, the white turds? And you had no problem with it. They just kicked it, and it was because everyone had a dog. And everyone's dog ran the entire neighborhood. There were no fences where I lived up in Westchester, Ohio. We had no fences. No fences at all. I don't remember seeing a fence anywhere in Westchester, Ohio. And now, of course, everyone's got fences. And maybe it's because they don't want people to see what's going on. Maybe they want to be more private. Maybe they want to make sure their dogs stay in their own yard. But I'd like my dog pooped in someone else's yard. We'll talk to Dr. Rev about that maybe next week. Rolling Stones song that they're not playing on tour anymore because of its social overtones of slavery and African-American situations. Keith Richards said, listen, I hate that we're not playing anymore because it's the second most played song behind Jumpin' Jack Flash we ever played. But, you know, if this affects people and people don't want to hear it and it affects people, then we're not going to play it. And I give them kudos. But you still hear it on the radio and we still play it because it's a damn good song. It's Tony Curry Radio.